How many can honestly say that from your heart that you were born again? Amen. So may the Lord bless you. If you listen, go ahead and take your seats. Wonderful song service. Amen. I love the talents that God puts in his people. And I love the people that God puts in his church. Amen. It's so wonderful. Just a ministry of its own, all in itself. Appreciate that. It's good to be in the house of the Lord with you. Good to see everybody here after a long day of activities yesterday. I'm sure that some of you are probably tired in your bodies with late night fellowships, but we're here. So we're going to give our all to the Lord and just believe that he'll speak to our hearts this morning. We go ahead and open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 10. Good to have Brother Terrence, Sister Judy with us this morning, all the way from Amarillo. That's correct, right? Yeah. So, good to have them with us. Amen.
I'm going to title this today, Believing from the Soul.
And, or you could say Believing from the Heart, because the heart is the center portion of it, and that's our soul. Yeah. Believing from the soul. This is the Lord speaking. He says, think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law. So you wonder where that strife comes from between in-laws, right? And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life shall find it, for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me. He that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. I want to go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 through 39. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe unto the saving of the soul. And one more scripture in Revelation 18, verse 1 through 5. I don't want to keep you standing too long. Revelation 18, verse 1. And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lighted with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered our iniquities. Let's just pray for order. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to this portion of the service, we know, God, that it is the most important part. We've sung the songs, Lord, we've entered into worship, and now it's time, Lord, that you would speak to us. And so we ask, God, that you would do that this morning, that each one of us would just move ourselves out of the way. As your prophet said, a gift is you just move out of the way and let your Holy Spirit move. And Lord, I believe that works even in hearing. And so we ask, God, that you just bring liberty to us this morning in your presence. And God, that you'd speak to every heart, that each person, no matter what age they are, Lord, we know you know how to speak, that you would send them away today with good things, with revelation abounding in their hearts. We love you, Lord. At this time, on your hands and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And you can please be seated. Believing from the soul. Now we read this scripture there where Jesus said, I came not to bring peace, but I came to bring a sword. And I was reading that yesterday and I thought, man, that is totally, completely opposite of the gospel that most of the world puts out there, that, you know, Jesus brings peace. And we know it, the gospel does bring peace to us. It's all about that. But nevertheless, Jesus said here that he came not to bring peace, but to bring a sword, and that to bring a division between household members. And so that just seems so strange that he would say that. But we have to kind of, you know, look into it to see what it is that he means by that. And so what it's really saying there is, we know he's a gospel of peace, but what he's really telling us here is that when he begins to come in, when he begins to move into our lives, and he begins to take control of our life, because he deserves that, and when he moves in, as soon as you repent, immediately you know things that need to be cleaned up.
Amen.
That's the Lord speaking to you right there. Right off the bat, you know to surrender things, right off, as soon as he moves.
Right.
And so as he begins to come in and you move and take things, and you begin to surrender your life to him, then obviously there's going to be some differences between other people around you.
Amen.
You know, we are a separate people, a people called out. Right. You know, church means called out. And well, what does he call us out of? He calls us out of living whatever life we were living, and then life of the life that the rest of the world lives.
Right.
And he brings a separation. We are a separated people, and it brings division. And it's not that we want that, but God is a segregationist, not of color, but of spirit. And when the Holy Spirit moves into your life, it changes things. And therefore, the friends that you used to have may not be able to be your friends anymore.
Right.
Not that you don't want it to be. It's just that they're going to pull away from you. So there's divisions and things there. And so the whole thing that he's showing us here is, and he goes on to express that as we read more of the scriptures, is that you must love the Lord. You must, and I want to remind you, he is the Word.
Amen.
And he's the revealed Word, especially for our day. That you must love him more than anything else in your life, even to those that are closest of kin to you.
Amen.
The closest kin that you have is your children or your parents.
Amen.
And he is telling you in this scripture there that if you put even your closest kin ahead of him, you're not worthy of him. You're not worthy of whatever what he has brought to the human race. And being that one who could pay the price, and being that one who could be the champion, And everything that he's provided, there's a worthiness, you know, that you would go with that. And he's telling us, and we realize we're not worthy in ourselves, but he's saying that if we put anything first ahead of him, then we're not worthy of him. And so he goes on to tell us that if you put your father or your mother, your son or your daughter ahead of him, then you're not worthy of him. And he goes on to say that if you don't take up your cross, we know the scripture says daily.
Yeah.
If on a daily basis we cannot take up our cross and follow him, he says we're not worthy of him. And so that shows us that there is division between family members and friends, and that shows us that there is a cross for us to bear.
Right.
And it shows us there is a cross for us to bear every day.
Mm-hmm.
And and every day it is such that the Christian lives in a manner that they have to fight these battles. They have to deal with these divisions. They have to Pick up that cross. You know, a cross is something you die on. And a cross, you know, it's not easy to carry.
Right.
You know, think about that. You're packing a cross that you're going to die on. But he's showing us here that we each have a cross, and it's him enacting in us the same walking he did to Calvary. He's doing it again in us. And so that's all he's really asking. He's saying to us, you know, I'm going to come in, I'm going to take control, and I'm going to walk this walk again, and I'm going to die this death again in you. And if you won't let me do that to the full extent, if you won't let me do that, then you're not worthy of the whole, of me at all. Right? And so we see that that's what he's saying there. And so we know there's battles in the flesh, there's battles in the spirit. And so we want to kind of dig into those just a little bit. Now we have to realize, we must always realize and remember that the Bible is right. This Bible is correct.
Yes.
You have people come along try and say this and say that, and well, what translation and all that. And all I know is that God is perfect.
Amen.
He makes no mistakes. We've talked before about the scripture saying that a man's quiver, having many children, is a quiver full of children.
Right.
It's like arrows, and that, you know, use arrows to hit your enemy. And when you shoot arrows, you have to compensate for wind and all the things that are there. And a good archer knows how to send that arrow in the midst of all that opposition and still hit the target.
Right.
Right? And so you understand that God is able to do that too. And so the Bible is correct. And it makes no difference whether man did this or man did that. God could not hold us to the account that he has accountable if he didn't give us the right word and the right truth. And it really, more than anything, I mean, the word is correct, but it's the spirit of the word what makes the big difference there. Because the Holy Spirit reveals to us this word.
Yes.
And so we must always remember that the Bible is right. And this Bible is not a Western book. Mm-hmm. We're in the West. We have Western customs and traditions. But this Bible is not a Western book. This Bible is an Eastern book. Brother Brown tells us this.
Right.
And so what you understand is that when God came down and he picked Israel and said, I'm gonna work through them, through Abraham and Isaac and all the 12 tribes, he delivered to them customs and traditions and ways to live that he said it that way in them so that it would be a type and shadow of spiritual things in scriptures.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the book, the Bible, was written along with the Eastern customs,
right,
not Western customs.
Right.
So one example of that is adoption. If we try to look at Bible adoption and we try to use it with a Western idea of what adoption is, it doesn't work. Because Western adoption is that you take someone who's not your child and you bring them into your family and you make them your child. Right?
Right.
But Eastern adoption, that's not what it is. And Eastern adoption in biblical form and what their custom was, it is simply taking a son who is a son and placing him in authority once he reaches that maturity level.
Right. Mm-hmm.
See? So we have to remember that the Bible is correct. And we have to look at it through the eyes of the way it was written and the way God intends us to look through it. So we can't interpret this Bible with Western thinking. We can't interpret this Bible with man thinking. We have to let the Holy Spirit come down and anoint us and let us see through his eyes. And one of the best ways, besides just the Holy Spirit, is the gifts that he sends and the ministries he sends, and especially a prophet that he sends, to let that channel us so we look through the scriptures the way God would have us look. And when this happens, then you begin to see what God wants you to see. And otherwise, it's hid.
Right.
It's hid from wise and prudent.
Yeah.
But will be revealed to babes. Mm-hmm. God hides himself in simplicity, but reveals himself in the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why Brother Graham said, you know, the more degrees you get, PhD, LLD, and all, he said, the more you get of that, the further you get from God. Because when people trust in those things, it takes them further from God. It's all in humility and humbling ourselves and letting the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us. And so we realize this book is a Western book, is an Eastern book, not a Western book. Now, the message in this end time, we're so familiar with that term, message, But the message came to call us out of confusion. We read the scriptures where he said, come out of her, my people. Mm-hmm. And, but you see, we have, and I'll get further through this in just a minute, but we have a lot to overcome. We have just the nature of man and the way we were raised and the customs and the schools and the training and all the job and all the influence. Everything is all just a fallen system, and that's the way we were raised. We were raised up thinking that way and doing those things the way we do, just a fallen nature. Yeah. So, and in that capacity, we can never understand scriptures properly. Right. We can never see what God really wants to do in this hour in his people. So the message came to draw us out of that confusion. Amen. To pull us out and call us out of that confusion so we can see things the way God wants it, and so we can know what God wants us to know, and we can act out what God wants us to act out and become what we really are, what he wants to show us that we are. Right. But it takes that in our lives. Something has to move upon us daily. To pull us out of this Laodicean realm, or out of Babylon.
Right.
And so, you know, the scriptures, Babylon means confusion.
Right.
Right? You just read in the scriptures there that they built the Tower of Babel and he smote them with confusion.
Right.
But Babylon is confusion. And Babylon is not a system that God is God. It's in opposition to God.
Right.
And so it takes years, because we're born in all this. It takes years. It has taken years. God could do however he wants, okay? God could just speak his word and we could all be fully revelated and fully compliant like that.
Yeah.
But he didn't do it that way. So there's something for us to learn and glean in the fact that he wants it. Like Brother Brandon said, that it didn't take God 7 days, but he took 7 days. Right? There's always something to learn out of every scripture and out of every passage and out of every way that God says things. There's something for us to glean there from those things. And so, it is taking many years for God to get us out of Babylon. In other words, to get us out of confusion. And if you're out of confusion, then you're not confused.
Right?
Right? And so, you know, when you look back in the scriptures in Exodus, when God took the children of Israel out of Exodus, very quickly, it didn't take long to get them out of Egypt. You know, you could say, well, it took months for all the plagues or whatever. But in essence, one Passover message, one night, and the next day they left Egypt. So it didn't take long to get them out of Egypt. But we find in the scriptures it took many years to get Egypt out of them.
Right, that's true.
And see, you can't enter into the full promises of God just by leaving Egypt. You got to get Egypt out of you.
Right.
I keep hearing guys at work talking about all these people from California that are moving and buying land and houses and all around here, and they're fleeing from California. It's a good place to flee from. But they're talking about, the problem is they're bringing their liberal ideas here.
Right.
Right? So how could you come out of Egypt, say, I'm out of Egypt, but your mindset is still the way Egypt thinks?
Yeah.
And Egypt represents sin also.
Right.
And so you have to come out, but you also have to go in too. We know that also. So it doesn't take long maybe to act like on the outward that you've come out of things, but it takes a little bit longer for it really to be purified in your heart, to get the things out of your heart. And so we know that in that Exodus there were three types of people, three types of believers. We're all familiar with this, but there's a true believer, and then there's the unbeliever, right? And then there's a make-believer. And we see in the scriptures there that when Israel came out of that Exodus, there was a mixed multitude. There were people who came out that the promise to go into that promised land was not to them. But they came out just like when Abraham picked up and took Lot and his dad with him. All that had to be taken off before he could go ahead and fully bless Abraham. And so there were people who came out. So coming out of Egypt, there were true believers that promise was to. Then there were those that were absolute unbelievers. And then there were some that were make-believers. Mm-hmm. And you understand that only true believers could enter in. So they had to go through the wilderness for 40 years. They had to go through all these testings and trials to weed out and to thin out. You look around the message, you wonder about all these people that have left. And you don't want to say these things, you know, in the intellect, but you have to agree with the Word of God that God thins things out.
Right.
That only true believers can fully reach that place in rapture morning.
Right.
Not just an unbeliever. And not a make believer, but true believers are the only ones that can actually, that's going to be there.
Right.
And so we see that came out, and we are like that. We are in ourselves, each one of us, Brother Bram said, in every gathering, there's true believers, and there's unbelievers, and there's makes believers, right? I mean, he's a true believer, right? Not everybody raises their hand. Okay, well, how many is unbelievers, right? You want to do that? Or how many is a made believer? Well, and we think about that. But in all reality, in every service, they're here. Because your flesh is an unbeliever. And your spirit, which is your imagination, conscience, memory, reason, and affection, according to the prophet, is a make believer.
Right.
But only your soul is a true believer. If you are a child of God, if you're a predestinated child of God, Brother Ram said, in that third realm of the soul, there, you know, he talked about in the flesh. Mm-hmm. There's five senses: touch, taste, see, smell, hear. That's how you contact your natural home, through those senses.
Right.
Then in the spirit realm, it's imagination, conscience, memory, reason, affections. You contact the spirit realm through those things. And so there was five of those. But he said, in your soul, there is one. And it's either faith or doubt. You're either God's, elected by God as a child of God, and if that's the case, then in your soul is faith. But if you're not, then it's doubt. Mm-hmm. That's the only way you operate in that realm, is either faith or doubt. Mm-hmm. We know that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. This thing is the unbeliever. He's lost. That's just all there is to it, right?
Amen.
But we also understand that if you're a child of God in the soul realm, You're part of God, you always have been, you always will be, and you can't fail, come short, because that part of God in you is just as much God as he's God, because it is God.
Yeah.
You can't fail.
Right.
And that's the real you. It's just laying there dormant until it's quickened.
Yeah.
Right?
Amen.
And so you have these three aspects. You have your flesh that he's not going at all. He's done, right? And you have a soul that can't be lost, but your spirit leans one way one day and another way the other day.
That's right.
And sometimes it's happy because you've got plenty of money, and sometimes it's not happy because you don't have money. Mm-hmm. Follow me?
Right.
So it's kind of moving. And so God works in spirit realm also, but so does Satan.
Yeah.
So you find out there, Brother Bram said that our spirit, our human spirit, was not given to us from God. It was permitted. So because it's permitted, then Satan can touch it. So can God.
Yeah.
Right? It's just like man and woman having relations in the natural the way we come because of the fall. That was not given to the human race. That was given to the animal kingdom. They can do it. It's no problem. It was given to them. Yeah. Satan doesn't anoint that because it was given to them by God. But it wasn't given to us, but because of the fall, God permitted it to go ahead and happen, but Satan can put his mark on it. He can touch it,
yeah.
Right? But yet God can work through it too.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So what God originally purposed there is perfect, but it's that thing that comes along afterward that's a hybrid thing or a secondary permissive will or something like that, still gets God's perfect will in all of it. So you understand that. And so our spirit can be touched by Lucifer, and he can be touched by God. So it's the make believer, and He can't take that in itself and say that's how I'm going to get you there.
Right.
He has to work from something that's not vulnerable like that. And so we are those three types of believers in ourselves. And if we're honest with ourselves, we have to before this week is out, I will recognize a moment in my week where I was an unbeliever or a make-believer. Mm-hmm. And hopefully most of the time you'll recognize yourself as a believer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because that's the struggles and the fights that we do daily. Mm-hmm. right? Because it's where we are. And so, confusion, as I said a while ago, confusion is Babylon. You can read about it in the Church Age book. History shows it that way back at the very beginning, that all the peoples of the earth, they all knew and they all believed in one God. So coming right out of the Garden of Eden from the fall, they believed in one God, worshiped one God. And there was one family, the family of God, mm-hmm. right? Adam and Eve.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't any question about who God was, and there wasn't any question about who God's family was. And it was life and not death. But when Lucifer got in there, or through the serpent, Satan got in there through the serpent and caused the fall, then we went from the worship of one God, who everybody knew was God, and one family that was the family of God, we went from that to multiple gods, and from one family that was a family of God into more than one seed line.
Yeah.
This is the progress going from what it should be into Babylon. From what it should be into confusion.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because when you lose the revelation of one God, you're moving into confusion.
Yeah.
And when you lose the revelation of one God, you also are losing the revelation of who God's family is. Because mm-hmm. all these things have been given back to us in this end time message to understand who God is and who the family of God is.
Yeah.
And to look and see that other seed line in the framework of the church. Right? And to understand it, and by God's Spirit withstand it. So these things are all being committed to us. And so Satan, through the fall, was bringing humanity into Babylon, into confusion. Brother Bram talked about how that Cain, the scripture said Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. God is just, and he told Cain what to do to be accepted. Mm-hmm. But you got to realize, If they're not predestinated to come, even if God comes down and spells it out to them perfectly, they can't come.
That's right.
So he told him, just do like your brother and you'll be accepted.
Mm-hmm.
It says sin lieth at the door, and you look at that, it means a sin offering. There was a lamb outside. There's it lay right out there. Go out there and take it and go sacrifice it. And if you'll do like your brother, you'll be accepted. And the scripture said he went out from the presence of the Lord. It didn't say God's put him out. He went out from the presence of the Lord. When God begins to move, people are going to leave if they're not part of God's program.
Right.
I mean, you can't help that.
That's right.
I mean, it's just how it is. But Brother Bam tells us that Cain became a wanderer.
Right.
Wandering around. No place to call home. Don't know where to settle.
Yeah.
Don't really. Why? Because you're going from what it should be, knowing who God is, knowing who you are, and having a foundation, and having a sure place to stand, into Babylon, where you don't even know who you are. Mm-hmm. You don't know where your place is. You don't even know who your Father, your Heavenly Father is. Mm-hmm. That's Babylon.
Yeah.
And so he brought all of humanity into Babylon. But at the end time, God has come to call us out of her, Babylon. So if God's calling us out of Babylon, then he must be calling us back into understanding one God, who he is, and who his children are, who his family is, and moving us from death back into life, right? Taking us right back into Eden before the fall,
right?
Remember Brother Rem said, threefold purpose of God?
Yeah.
Reveal himself in Christ, get preeminence in the church, and restore Eden.
Right.
We're on the threshold of him doing that right now. Because he sent a message now to bring us out of Babylon. And he said, my people, come out of her, my people. Because
yeah.
her sins, it's time to judge her. And so we understand that. Mm-hmm. Now, so that's confusion. And as soon as Satan could get his hands on it and did what he did, he brought him into confusion. Don't know who's who. And so this world was, and still is, Babylon. Right? It's Satan's Eden. And you have to realize that Satan anoints his Eden. Satan anoints his subjects in Eden. Satan anoints it and makes it to where it's natural for people to comply with Satan's Eden. Because in their fall, in their flesh, your flesh has an affinity to what you see out there in the world. Because that's part of the fall. And so Satan makes it to where it's easy. So, you know, anointing in the scriptures is oil, right? And so, you know, when something is squeaky, I was mowing my lawn yesterday, and I was probably driving my neighbors nuts with a squeaky wheel on the lawnmower. I didn't do it. I should have got off and put some oil on it. But when things aren't running smooth in a machine, give it some oil. And then it has to run smooth.
Right.
See? So you take a person, you know, a minister like me, scared to get it behind the pulpit. Just, you know, fidgety or whatever. But let anointing come on, him, and now it's different. Because he's anointed. But, you know, Satan can do the same thing. When you see these performers that can sing and all the, and they have millions of people and all that, they're anointed. They get into an anointing when they're performing up there, just like a minister does when he's preaching.
That's right.
But it's a different anointing. It's an anointing from the devil. And so Satan anoints to make dynamic ball players, dynamic singers and musicians and movie stars. Nobody can touch them because they're anointed. But it's the same way with the gospel. That God anoints his people and moves his program, and Satan has anointed his and is moving his program.
Yeah.
So Satan makes it really easy for us to go right along and do the same things that everybody else does. He makes it really easy for us to fall right into that original sin and go out and live like they do in the barnyard.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's natural to the flesh to do those things. And so it's, you know, when you get ready to go lust after somebody, there's no resistance there. I'm talking about in the natural as a person. If you're a Christian, there would be, obviously. But I'm just talking about in the natural as unborn again people. There's no resistance. I mean, it's right there and you just do it. Because you're anointed. It's a system, a program. And the whole thing is just all anointed to everybody just to live and act out and react out of that fall that happened in the garden. That's why everywhere they go in the world, they live like that. And that's why it's so hard for people to pull back from that and live the way God wants them to, because they're still in that anointing. They're still living in that society. And so something has to call you out of that and get a different anointing upon you so that you're not anointed that way anymore. And then when that happens, you'll start acting differently. But without it, all you can do is pretend. Act like, pretend like you've come out of Babylon when you really haven't. But how many knows that God knows if you have or not? He knows who's come out. And so, you see the program, how Satan has worked there. He makes it really hard to escape paganism. Multiple gods. Living like what happened in the garden. He makes it hard to escape that. He does. And it can only be God can help you and get you away from that. And so Satan's a shrewd fella. The scripture said wiser than Daniel. There's only one who can defeat him, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only way we would defeat him is by the Lord Jesus Christ through us. So that's why we have to have that anointing of Christ upon us to live through us to defeat the devil, because in ourselves we can't do it. We have nothing to offer in ourselves to do that. He's provided it all. You just have to give him free reign, let him come in and let him live and do those things. And so Satan's a shrewd fella. He comes along and he's caused the fall, and all of his, you know, we'll call it, Brother Graham, talking about the world, cosmos, the way man lives and all this, the way that seemeth right to man and all that, everything that's going on out here that's not Holy Spirit anointed, right? All that,
right.
And the way they govern and the way they marry and the way they run business and the way they do the schools and medical system, all that's all underneath that,
yep.
Right? And so Satan has anointed all that, and he makes it very hard for someone to escape it. And he goes out there and he anoints, and he makes sure, because sin is beautiful. Prophet tells us that. Scripture, you know, it's beautiful. I say it so often that Satan doesn't come and say, come to you and say, hi, I'm the devil, and I'm here to ruin your day. He doesn't do that. That's not the way he operates. There has to be some form of seducing, drawing something to what he offers you in order to trick you. And there has to be a mesmerizing something for you to continue in something that you know is bringing your demise. It's a real simple example, cigarettes. Know where it's taking you, but just keep right on. Because there's something there that's a draw.
Yeah.
Right? It can't be that there's just nothing appealing whatsoever, and because then nobody would even go there. But it's very appealing. Very appealing. And so he anoints it, and he makes sure that the customs of the land, that the fall is so ingrained in the customs of the land, in the laws of the land, and what they teach in the schools, and in the holidays, and all the traditions of what we so love to observe, family around the table at Christmas time, and all these holidays. And he's embedded everything into all that,
yes.
So it makes it really hard for you to come and say to your children, we're not going to observe Christmas. You're going to tell the children that they can't have toys? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He makes sure to put it into everything so that only a person who's out of their mind would be able to pull back away. And that's exactly what happens when the Holy Ghost comes in.
That's right.
You get a new mind.
Yes.
Comes in and you live differently. Mm-hmm. And he'll draw you away from that worldlyism. And this is the thing that here at the end time, because the whole world and the religious system and all, Babylon, and Brother Branham talked about the God of this evil age and a couple other messages like that. And he lets us know that this religious, hybrid, scientific age, and he lumps it all together, because outside of the real message, they're given over to all the thinking of all the wisdoms and all the science and all the hybridism, and they've given over to all that. And you know, they look at that and say, well, there's nothing wrong with these things that we do, these traditions and all that.
Right.
Not realizing that they're all embedded in that web.
Yes, that's right.
And so that's the things that are there. Embeds it in traditions and makes it hard for people to escape. Right. If you remember a few weeks ago, I talked about King Josiah come along. And I named my son, his middle name, Josiah, because of this fellow in the Bible. Because he cleaned house.
Yeah.
And yet he made a mistake at the end, but which I talked about, the sins of Josiah, or the fall of Josiah. But if you go in that history there and you look and you see that and you read this in your Bible, that Israel was one, and they had David and Solomon, and then Solomon had a son, Rehoboam, and there was a servant of Solomon called Jeroboam. And Jeroboam was very industrious and so forth. And so anyway, long story short, Israel split. And so David, the king, King David, Solomon and Rehoboam had Jerusalem. And they had the Levite tribe, but the 10 tribes went to Jeroboam. And everybody, did their travel to Jerusalem for their worship, right? And Jeroboam said, he was king over Israel, 10 tribes, and Rehoboam was king over Judah, with just his tribe and the Levites there, because that's where the temple was there at Jerusalem. And so Jeroboam said, you know what? All these people, these 10 tribes that I'm king over, as they go up year after year to Jerusalem, their hearts are going to be turned back to that king, and they'll kill me and I'll lose my position. And so Jeroboam decided that he would take and make a golden calves, or one or two, I don't know. But he's, I think it was two because it said Dan and Bethel. He put them at Dan and Bethel, right? And this thing became a sin, Scripture said, because God had told Moses that way back there when you come into this land, and if you start doing like they do, then I'll blot out any man, woman, family, or tribe. I'll blot their name from out from under heaven if they do this. And so Jeroboam come on, he built these calves, and he set the one at Dan and the other at Bethel, and they began to worship a golden calf. And the scriptures, that was known as the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. And you'll read it over, and it keeps referring back over and over. Keep referring. Because he brought idolatry in there. And so what I'm trying to get to with this is, you know, when Moses went up on the mountain to get the law, right? The Ten Commandments. And they got, you know, well, we don't know what's happened to this guy. So they convinced Aaron, they got together, and they made a golden calf. And then Moses come down off the mountain there. And you know the story, what happened. It was a sin. It was a problem that God had to deal with. And he had to go back and get the commandments again. And so and showing you a type of the breaking of the law. What caused the breaking of these rules of God? And it was idolatry. They built this golden calf, began to worship it. And so Moses came, and the scripture said they broke it up, ground it into powder, and put it in water and made the people drink it. And I'm saying that because you would think, if you look at that and say, man, we'll never do that again. We'll never make another golden calf and say, here's the gods that brought you up out of Egypt. Here's the gods that delivered you from sin. Think about it. We won't do that again. We made a mistake there. But yet here we are over here hundreds of years later. Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, makes these things and sets them up. And here they come in the droves to start worshiping. And I'm saying all that to say this. It's hard to escape Babylon. It's hard to escape idolatry.
Sure.
God's the only one that can get you out.
Yes, sir.
That's why it's so significant what God has done in our day. That angel spoke with a loud voice and said, come out of her. That one angel there, and then God spoke, said, come from heaven, come out of her, my people.
Yes,
and that's the ministry of William Branham there. It's this end time to come. And the earth be lighted with his glory. He had a strong voice, a mighty strong voice. Went to all around the world.
Yeah.
An angel's a messenger, and he come right out of the scriptures, right out of heaven. Because heaven consists of the word.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's happened in our day.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
And so, it's hard to get free if you're in Babylon. But he's called us out. And so, the message has called... to call us into a faith that comes from our soul. Because you can have a mental faith, right? You know, Brother Red talked about mental faith. But there's a perfect faith. And so, back to Babylon just for a moment. All that appeals to the flesh, because it's a fallen nature. And all of that appeals and can speak into and anoint the spirit. The spirit realm. So you can be anointed in the spirit realm and be dynamic out here in worldly stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could be anointed in the spirit realm also with the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. Live God, live right.
Yeah.
So you can be either way. And this is why Brother Brown talked about. This is why these revelations had to come at the end time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? False anointed ones at the end time.
Mm-hmm.
Because we live in an age where Pentecost is, and they can speak in tongues, and they can shout, and they can say, this is the Holy Ghost, and you got it if you do all that, and it's wrong.
Yeah.
Right? And so they're saying all that, and God had to put that to silence, at least among believers.
Yeah.
So Satan's, that whole system can, you know, it can be anointed in your spirit realm, and you can like, praise God, because I shouted, I got it, and you're wrong.
Yeah.
Because devils shout. devil speaking tongues.
Amen.
A vindicated voice that nobody can say is not there, right? Says the devil shout speaking tongues and so forth. So you see through the ministry, Brother Branham was God raised up to silence these things, to help us understand that it's not your flesh, and it's not even your spirit. It's not even the anointing in the spirit realm that ties you back to God, because that can come and go. But it's what's in the soul. That's the tie post. Ties you back to whether you belong to God or not. And if you belong to Him, there's no way you could not belong to Him. And so, Satan's Eden, you know, it caters to the flesh, and it caters to the feel-good in the spirit. The imaginations, conscience, memories, affection. I've told you before that I could hear a certain song that I listened to back when I was in the world, and I could hear that in a grocery store or something like that, and you could feel that spirit, that same spirit that I entertained while I was out in the world listening to that music. You could feel it there.
Sure.
And he wants to come back.
Sure.
And he's resisted. So spirits are tied to things, tied to objects, tied to music, tied to smells, perfumes, and things.
Right.
Those things can provoke those same worldly spirits, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there's things that can bring the Spirit of God
right.
also. Well, that's just an anointing. That's just the way the wind's blowing that day, you know, because the Spirit is like the wind. Don't know where it comes, where it goes. So, you know, you can be all wind blowing this way, praise God, and tomorrow it's blowing the other way, and you're like, not so, praise God.
Mm-hmm.
See? So God's got to call us out of living like that, out of trusting in that, and say, because if that's what you gauge your experience with God with, then today you're saved and tomorrow you're lost.
Right.
So God, in this end time, calling us out of Babylon, which ministers to flesh and in the weakness of the spirit, calling us into something that's rock solid, that doesn't change, is constant every day, because it's the Word of God.
Amen.
It's the Word that's in you. So God deals with the soul, even though Satan cannot change, anoint, or deal with what's in the soul. What's there is there. But he can anoint you in your spirit, and obviously the flesh is undone, even though it does receive blessings and healing from God. So the message has come to bring us out of that, to bring us out of living according to what feels good in the flesh, what makes us feel good in the spirit realm, into something that doesn't change, the unchanging Word of God. And you realize, I said a while ago about Pentecost, you know, they came up with tongues evidence. Oh yeah, you got to speak in tongues. I'm back in this building here, and it was Pentecost, and I seen it happen right here. A young lady that lived like the world, in and out of church, and she spoke in tongues, and one of the elders of the church said, raised up and said, if you didn't get it that way, you didn't get it God's way. It's wrong,
yeah.
Right? And in the midst of all that, here is all this Pentecostal age, God raised up a prophet that had the greatest ministry since the Lord Jesus Christ. And how many times have you ever heard Brother Branham speak in tongues?
Right.
Look at the way God dealt through him with all the things that happened. And Brother Branham did speak in tongues from time to time. He talked about it. But did you ever hear him on tape? So God just saying to Pentecost, in your face. That's one of our terms. Because God doesn't have to paddle in that. God does not have to come down and work with us in something that feels good to the flesh.
Right.
He doesn't have to come down and work with us in a way where every service we come to is just so powerful. He doesn't have to do that. But he does, 100% of the time, speak to us out of the unchanging Word that comes from the Bible, comes from the Holy Spirit, which is also mirrored by what's in you, unchanging Word. So God is calling us out of those things, emotions and all that. Yeah, you can have shout, praise God and all that. But if that's not there, you still live for God. He's still the same, because it's right here and it agrees with the Word. And that's what he's calling. So when he calls us out of Babylon, he's calling us out of all this. Gotta feel it or not believe it if you don't feel it. into believing that even if you're standing there and there's no visible sign of evidence at all of God standing on behalf of what you're trying to stand for, you believe it anyway because it's His word, and you know it down inside. You don't know it here, but you know it down inside. You know it in a realm that surpasses anything that Satan can talk to you about. That's the realm that He's called us into. Beyond our emotions, into total agreement with the word. Amen. This word of God that's in our soul that I'm talking about, that He wants us to have, faith from the soul, that's what comes out and lives in our lives. That is a seed.
Sure.
It's laying there in you, dormant. The same as dead, as it were, because it's not been quickened.
Yeah.
That's why you could go out and live in the world the way you did, because it was laying there and had not been quickened yet. Mm-hmm. But when the gospel light comes over that, and begins to shine on that seed, it comes to life.
Yep.
And I will tell you that even back in creation, when all those seeds were already laying there, when God said, "Let there be light," He said those seeds were already there, and then that light coming on the seed made them come to life.
Yes.
But those seeds, before the light ever touched them, those seeds were manifested word, because they were created by the word of God. They were just dormant. And then another word of God, a message come and was spoke over them. And now they begin to grow and become manifested living word, right?
Yeah.
Manifesting what they are to be. And that's us. We came to this world with that seed already there, just laying dormant. And the end time message has reached into Babylon and has spoke to us and has called us. And now there's something living inside us that can't change.
Right.
That's God. And that's what we want to live by. And that is, I've said here recently, the scripture said, "He that's joined to the Lord is one spirit." When you become husband and wife, become one. Not as one. Scripture doesn't say as, but you become one.
Yeah.
Okay? And so you become one with God. And so when Christ comes in, that's Him coming in, and He quickens that word, and it's all mixed together to become one entity inside you, and it's Christ, but it's you.
Right.
Amen.
It's what you were ordained to be all along.
Right.
You're one. Now it's Him.
Yes.
And now He's the one that you've got to put on display. He's the one that overcomes. He's the one that will live this gospel when nothing else can.
Right.
And He does not come from mental realm. Imagination, conscious, memory. That might be anointing and caught up in the moment, but with or without that, whether the flesh agrees or whether the spirit agrees, whatever, this is always right, because this is the person of Jesus Christ now alive in you.
Amen.
Brought to you by an end time message.
Right.
Through that light shining on you. That becomes token.
Mm-hmm.
That is your token life. That is the literal life of Christ. And that's what's in you is token. And you know, we all know what the token is, right? So how many remember where Brother Graham said, when you pray, present the token. When you go and you talk to someone, talk to your favorite child, present the token. How many remember that? Put that on display. And so why is it we realize that there's only one life that God can accept when it comes to Him, and that's the life of Jesus Christ.
Right.
If I try to go with myself, or you try to go on yourself, it's filthy rags.
Mm-hmm.
If we try to come before God in our flesh with some idea that caters to the flesh, filthy rags.
Yeah.
If we try to come to it in our imagination, conscience, memory, reason, or affection, in our spirit realm, filthy rags.
Mm-hmm.
Because He can't accept it.
Amen.
Right? It's filthy because it's not the life. God can only fellowship with His own life.
Right?
Right? So He gives us His own life, quickens that in us, and now He can have fellowship with us because it's Him in us, same nature, right? Two birds of a feather, eagles, they can. And so He can have fellowship with you now.
Right?
Right? And so when you get ready to come before God, Don't come with your imagination and whatever feels good today but might not tomorrow, or you know, come with some fleshly, worldly idea.
Right.
Don't come that way. Come with the only thing that he can accept, which is the literal life of Christ that's now quickened and alive in you.
Amen.
That's what you come with. And if you do that, you know he can't turn it down. Brother Graham tells us we're speaking of a day where even our children's not going to be lost. Mm-hmm. Right? Divine love. Mm-hmm. When it's projected, sovereign grace moves in and takes a place. It produces what you've been projected, right? Mm-hmm. And they and their offspring with them. So we're moving into a very positive time in the church, where she has the word and she knows what to do with it. And where these things that seem to be so far off in times past are now possible. Because God is moving us into that unity with Christ. So, and this is what we mean when we say the bride coming of Christ is because he's now quickened and alive in his body of believers. And because them as unity becoming one with him, then as he is, so are we in this earth. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. So when we want to go and pray, let's present the token, not something else.
Right.
Not your doubts, not the way you feel, but the revelation that you know is down in your heart that's been confirmed to you by God.
Amen.
That you know something is alive there that holds.
Yes.
When Brother Ram talking about his wife laying in the morgue and his little daughter standing laying there with her eyes crossing, from spinal meningitis or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And Satan jumped up there and said, "Didn't you say God was a good God? You went and you preach and you out and preach all late in the night and come in and you wore out all the time and you got no friends and all that. And didn't you say he's a good God?" And Brother Brandon, this is what he was saying. He said everything that Satan told him what was saying was right. Because Satan was talking to his mind.
That's right.
Right? Satan was talking to his spirit realm. Mm-hmm. Conscience, memory, imagination, conscience, memory, reason, affection. Satan was talking to our prophet in that realm. Prophet's flesh is no different than ours. Right? Lost just like ours was. And he was talking to him, and that same imagination, conscience, memory, and reason, and affection that had been anointed and so high a few days before that could name the people and tell them all about what was going on, now it was being anointed another way. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Anointed enough that your prophet said, he's right. Everything he said was right. I've lived for God. I went out and did these things, and now I need him to heal my daughter, and he pulled a black sheet down and won't even hear my prayer. And your prophet said, because Satan was speaking in that spirit realm, that it was, and he said, it's right. But how many know what else Brother Bram said next? He said, I was just about to say, if that's the way God's going to be, then I won't serve him. Is that what he said?
That's right.
What? Satan began to speak to his mind. That same mind that has been so anointed of God to speak and do all those things had nothing to do with soul. Had to do with how he was anointed to do all those things. And now he's being anointed in a different direction. And Satan has talked to him and he's agreed with it. He said, you know what? If that's the way God's going to be, I just won't serve him anymore. And he said, just as I was about to say that, something from way down on the inside of the inside spoke and said, God gives, God takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord. And Brother Ben said, oh, if it was not for the inside of the inside. And that's what I'm trying to tell you today. He's called us out of Babylon, which is flesh and his spiritual anointings and all that. He's calling us into something that's way down on the inside of the inside. And oh, brother, sister, if it wasn't for that, where would we be?
Yeah, that's right.
even knowing what we know about a prophet and our day, and we still get tripped up by the devil.
Sure.
But oh, just in a few more minutes, something else speaks. Something else begins to deal with you. And you begin to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I let the devil talk to me and convince me to go around contrary to your word, because you're right. Amen? I am so glad that our prophet's life was on display, transparent, so that he could tell us that even he went through those things, and so that we could understand why we go through those things. But we could also understand the thing that's going to get us across the finish line is from way down on the inside of the inside, which is the word, which can't fail, and Satan can't do anything about it. And no matter what goes through the rest of everything else, you're going to be there if that is quickened inside you. Amen. And so we want to present our token when we come. We pray and we ask God for things. Present that life and not your, you know, how many of those the first thing you do when you go to pray? Those thoughts start coming. Bam, 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 bam. Man, God, don't he, you know, remember this, remember that? You should have done this, should have done that. Am I the only one?
No.
See what's happening? Because Satan knows if he can keep you in that realm, maybe the flesh or in that spirit realm where he's yakking at you all the time with all that noise,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Then he's got you. Because you become unfruitful.
Yeah.
But if you can, through this end time message, God calling us out of all that, giving us the gift to put those things away and shove that imagination and that conscience and memory and reason and affections and shove all that along with the flesh away, and just connect to that soul realm and let the faith from the soul come out and live within. That's the gift God has given us in this day. And no other people can do that. Nobody else can do that. Only those that God has called out of Babylon. Amen. So we can believe to a degree that's beyond anything flesh. That means when our own flesh parents and our own flesh children shun us because of what we believe. Okay? Not that I want it that way, but that's because I've been given something that I can overcome that. And then when Satan comes and in prayer and he lies to you and says you did this and you made mistakes and you're not perfect and all that, then you rise above that. Right? So that those things no longer hinder us because we're tied to something that is thus saith the Lord. And we believe it. I happen to believe it's a wonderful, wonderful message that God has given us today.
Amen.
And this world, if the world knew what was here, they'd just be busting the door down.
Sure.
If they understood it.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. But it's for those it's intended to be for. You know, the first thing that happened, you know, when Israel got out there and they came out of Egypt. But Egypt was still in them.
Yeah.
And you know how you know that Egypt was still in them? Because when they run into trials, the first thing they said, well, I'll just go back to living sin.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'll just go back and living the way I was.
Mm-hmm.
But once you reach that place where you are not an unbeliever and you're not a make-believer, but you're a true believer, when opposition rises up and comes against you, you'll be like Joshua and Caleb. Give me my mountain. I'm ready to take it.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, that's right.
Might be 85 years old, but give me my possession because it belongs to me.
Yeah.
Right?
Amen.
That's the difference. Mm-hmm. That when trials come to you, do you like, oh, I'll just quit. I'll just go back to living, smoking, drinking, whatever? Or when those trials come, do you turn to something else?
Right.
That's the word of God.
Yeah.
And that's where you want to be. That's when you know who God is and who his children are.
Right.
You're one of his children. Amen. May the Lord bless you. Amen. Let's let the musicians come. Love. of times we have to agree with the word. I mean, I come out wrong. So, a lot of times we're faced with circumstances where we all know we have to agree with the word, but to do so is going to sound to our thinking like we don't care, or sound like we have no compassion, sound like we're all messed up. Now, Jesus could go through all those sick people and only heal one.
That's right.
Brother Brent said that was compassion.
That's right.
That's compassion. Our verse, remember I said it's an Eastern book, and our ways of God's, through the prophet's eyes, compassion was doing the will of God.
That's right.
And that's the way I want to be. I want to be just like Brother Daniel in his situation recently. Enough of compassion to say no. Enough of the will of God working in our lives to say, though it might be good in flesh, it might be good spiritual time, but I want to go with God. See what I'm saying? We all run into those things. And so people would look back and say, how could that be God? But Brother Graham said it was God. When Jesus healed that one man and went on and left him there, and he said, that is compassion. We want to live by God's anointing, by His word, and that alone. And sometimes we have to say, you know, when you see people who have left the message that we fellowship with, and we have to say, well, you know, only the believers can cross over.
That's right.
And we're not painting anybody, because I pray that they come back.
Amen.
And that's possible. But we just have to stay with God's word and say, you know what? It is what it is. Amen. According to the Lord. Let's just bow our hearts to Him. Lord Jesus, we want to thank You, Lord, for this time to be in the house of God and be with Your people. And most of all, Lord, that Your presence would come and You would speak to us out of Your word. And Lord, as maybe the people sitting out there thinking that I'm speaking, Lord, it's You. And God, You speak to me at the same time I go ahead if I do. We love You, Lord, and we thank You because You haven't left us here in this Laodicean age way at the end. You've not left us undone, but You have come to be that faithful and true witness that You promised to be. We thank You, Lord, for these things. We thank You for this great hour that Your prophet said was the greatest time, that if You would have given him the choice of what day to come, He would have chosen this day. Lord, I pray that You allow us and help us to see through those eyes so that we can look out and in our lives, and when we see what's happening in our day, we won't say this is a terrible day, but we can say this is a golden age, it's the greatest day, and we to be thankful that we're here and alive to see You at Your coming and know that Your coming is through Your people. To be part of a message that You're living to this generation. I pray, God, that You just help us to embrace these things, Lord, and be able to live by that soul realm, regardless of what happens in the flesh or in the spirit. Lord, we love You. Just pronounce this blessing of this word this morning onto every heart and every life that hears this and has heard today. We thank You and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just worship. inside of the inside. And it brings a peace of God that passes all understanding.
That's right.
Amen. Don't get me wrong. That which lays in there can come out in an anointed spirit realm. And you can have a wonderful time. Amen. But if that's not even happening, just know that that word laying there in you. The scripture said, he that's born of God doth not commit sin. And he cannot sin because he's born of God.
Yep.
Amen. Isn't that what it says? That's not talking about this.
Right.
That's not even talking about our thinking. But that's talking about something way down on the inside.
Amen.
Thank the Lord for it. If you have need of prayer this morning, Brother Daniel, I'll be happy.